Good morning, church. Okay. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
There you go. Okay. Don't go to sleep for me. Not yet. Let me, give me a little bit of time. There are a couple things I want to say. First off, right now, I appreciate that last song there. That's one, I remember that back from school because that was the only one that me and my brothers knew the words to at the end. We all of us got that lifted me part straight. We get that. Every one of us. The other thing is, Curtis says he lets me come on fourth Sunday. That's youth Sunday. And I don't ever feel like I'm the youth. I really don't. I don't. But it's a compliment. And, I can go places with that. Joshua told me yesterday, he says, I look as young as grave. Now, I don't know what Joshua's looking for, but I'm going to get it for him. I'm going to help him out. Getting his brown cheese for it. I got a haircut. He said, look at your dress. But it's good to be here. Good to be back up here. Good to see the family. Good to, to see that regardless of what's going on, we stay focused on where God has got us and what we need to do. But before I go any further, let me first say thank God for allowing all of us to be here. And some of them didn't make it. And trust me, I don't know. There's going to be some that don't get up in the morning. That could be me. But I want you to know right now, my faith, my soul is locked in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So should that happen, I'm all right. If nothing else, you can say, well, that wore out paratrooper, he was all right. You can say that. I'm all right with it. The leadership of the church is important. You say every time he get up there, he talk about leadership. And I am. I'm going to keep doing this. I believe in giving honor where it's due. Listen to me. You'd be surprised at how many things, household, everything, that are messed up when you got bad leadership in that thing. Not just the country. You got a destructive hand. Even in little groups when the kids, if one kid is destructive and causing problems, we need to get a handle on that because we're teaching them it's all right. That's how we make strong leaders. It's important. My church family, I love y'all. I really do. I thank God we come here, and I enjoy the Sunday school. I enjoy every bit about it. I know I don't bring a whole lot of people here, but I try to get my whole clan up here. When they're here, there ain't many of them here today. They all protesting, I believe. I don't know. But they wouldn't protest the word. I'm just talking. And my wife and kids, I'm very thankful to them because they always support me. That's important. Family is important. There is no such thing as we without a family. You've got to have that. I know you're ready to get on with this. And we talked a little bit about this one in my Sunday school class. I spend some time. I try to spend a couple of days and nights and stuff going over, getting my lesson ready for coming up here because I don't want to get up here and talk crazy to you. I want you to understand. I want to bring something here that's useful to useful to you and to me. Y'all, I get that's old age, Curtis. I can be that way. Hey, I'm off my meds too. I forgot them this morning. Remember that. If they have to come and get me, I'm off my meds. My scripture reading for this morning will be coming from Matthew's, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 16. Matthew's, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 16. When you have it, say amen. I will read. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, I don't know about you, but that by itself got my little brain housing group just spinning. Just spinning. Now, before I get into this, it's important. I like giving a little background how I got to where I am so you can look at him and say, now, see how great he really messed up right there. Because I see background. But here's the background. In this chapter, what's going on here is first, it's the introduction, the names to all the disciples. And then Jesus gives his disciples a command, a mission statement, if you will, a task I need you to do. Here in Matthew 5, and this if you read through the whole chapter, I didn't read that. In Matthew 5, Jesus commanded the disciples to go out into the city, not into the way of the Gentiles and the city of Samaritans, but rather ye go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but right there, that stopped me. If it's anybody in that time that was needing help at that point, that was struggling with God and understanding the words and the Christian, how it would go, would have been the Gentiles. Now, we know who the Gentiles are, right? No? Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew, by definition. And the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans, they're Jew, but they just didn't practice any of the Jew stuff. They just didn't do what the Jews did. They had their own beliefs and directory toward Judaism. But the point here that I'm trying to get you to see is that Jesus gave all 12 the same command, but he said go to the lost sheep of Israel. Let me tell you who they are. If there's anybody in the biblical history that knows about God, his way, his power, his word, what's going on, it's going to be the children of Israel. So you would think that's the last group that he needs to be sending out to save. Huh? Listen to what he said now. To the lost sheep of Israel. He didn't say go to Willow. He didn't say go to Albemarle. No. The lost sheep. And I can actually liken that to or make the argument for that being like the church today. You don't hear me. Listen. I don't think, I know, listen to me, the people in the club need help. I know the people on the street need help. I know the people down there fighting need help. But I need to do something about this group here in the church. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He said the children of Israel. That's a key point. We probably need to remember that. Yeah. That's a key point. Just with that information alone, one would think that just off that alone, you would believe that the Samaritans and the Gentiles would be good candidates for Satan. You would think they are. That's not what Jesus done. No, this is a command direct. Look, we'll get to them. We got to get this other thing fixed. And one can assume that if anybody, again, if anybody knew anything about God's word and his desires, it would be the children of Israel. I mean, listen to me. Now, they've been through some stuff. Huh? Coming out of Egypt, look, they some of them still in the desert, lost out there in the wilderness. Now, them is chosen people. That's them. But Jesus identifies, again, I can't overemphasize how important that is because he tells them what he needed to do. The second key point here that it says, what Jesus tells him, he says, verses 9 and 10, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for the journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs. For the workman is worthy of his meat. All of this, I need you, this is what need to go on when I send you out here. In other words, don't take nothing. Don't carry nothing. Don't even carry no money. You eat by what you earn by doing your work, bringing souls to Christ, teaching the word. Now, I don't know about you. I've walked on some dirt roads barefooted before. I'm going out to say somebody's walking through rocks and stuff and ain't got, you know, not even sandals, don't even second first. I'm going to kind of have a little bit of attitude by the time I walk up to you. Especially if you're already in the church and you know you should have been doing right to start with, but I got to go out to your place. That's what's going on. Listen to what he said. That's what's here. That's in the word. This is what he got. He said, don't take any of that stuff with you. Through your teaching and work, you'll be taken care of. Again, I can liken that to the church. That would make sense to me. If you're going to come to my house and try to convince me of what's going on, I don't need you to drive up here in your brand new Cadillac. And I'm out there telling you I got to work every day to make child support. This is what I'm saying now. There's a reason he said what's going on. And the reason I'm putting it to you like this, because I got to get you to a point about my title. My title is Shake It Off. Shake It Off. In fact, we use it constantly, the term Shake It Off, what Jesus talked to. But let me get back to the key points that Jesus tells. The last key point Jesus tells them that you need to keep in mind. Now listen to me. He says, if you go into the house and it's worthy, leave your peace there with it. But if it's not, you take the peace. And he says, and if you're not welcome, in other words, when you come out, shake the dust off your feet. Harsh. But keep in mind, they're not at the Gentiles' place. This ain't the club that they're talking to. This ain't some street gunner that they're talking to. He's talking about other children of Israel. And you lacking it. These are other church members. They know the word, the faith. So why would Jesus target them as opposed to the world, knowing that we're all lost out here? Let's get to the point of Shake It Off. Could it be that Jesus know that I'm going to have a problem trying to convince that drug addict and the other guy on the street about God's word if I'm not faithful myself? Huh? Could it be? Is it possible that Jesus said, I need my word disseminated right, and before I can get it right, the one that I've made my 12, my apostles to, I need them to get out there and get the church right. How do I know they can handle this teaching when I'm gone if they can't get the church, this group, my people, my chosen one from Israel straight? You say, Grady, why are you standing up here hollering at me about something happening in Israel? We have an obligation here in the church. Listen to me. Listen to me. God's mission is the same. If we're going to go out and bring souls to Christ, listen to me. We need to make sure our soul is to Christ. That's, That's where we get to. See, it's hard for you to tell me to stop drinking and you got a beer in your hand talking to me. It's hard for you to tell me that I'm not in the church or whatever's in the church when I got other folk in the church that don't go to church. Yeah. I'm a member at East Walk Up, whatever the case may be. I go up there every fourth Sunday. That's when they take communion. That's your church goer. Do you know how much damage that individual can cause to that unsuspecting soul who have not yet come to Christ? How am I going to convince him? Oh, I know Deacon so-and-so. Yeah. Man, I met him at the strip bar. You know, we look at this. Listen now. I know you're saying, well, Grady, he's full of drama, got all that. Listen to what he's saying here. I'm not going to tell you anything. He's saying the lost sheep of Israel. He said, I need you to be wise as serpents. Listen to what he's talking about. We don't want to even change people. I need you to be wise. I got to be that smart to deal with you and you in the church. We got a problem. We got a problem, is what he said. So when we look at this thing and he says, go out here to the house. You go out here. Well, I ain't want to talk to him no more. I ain't going out to his house. You know, I don't know what's wrong with that brother. He's this, that, there, and the other, this. Hold it. We have an obligation to save each other. We have an obligation to save each other. I don't go see Mr. John or Randy or Chris or Curtis or whatever because they're in the church. I go to see them because they're my brother. If we burnt the church down tomorrow, did my friendship burn out with them? If we are going to show unity in God's word, if we're going to bring somebody into church, if we're going to preach family, if we're going to do what's right by doctrine, don't we need to do that for ourselves first? Help me understand this. Why is it that any man in the church should think that they are different than the other man in the church? Why is that? Why is that? So-and-so said, don't this, that, that, and the other, this. Don't come by here. He's a brother. I ain't want to mess with him. He, you know, we always had that problem with him. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You sitting in our Sunday saying you're straight. One of the toughest tools in your house to deal with, one of the toughest things for you to handle, one of the toughest things for you to actually operate and learn from it is a mirror. That's hard. You know what the Bible says? Say, a fool looks at it and forget what he sees. We in the church can learn a lot from that. I really believe that going out and trying to help people, you say, well, Grady, why are you going back? Because we in the church have an obligation to help each other. And sometimes that means helping each other here in the church. And that means going out to Curtis' house. I should be able to go out there without worrying about what's going on, the reprisals or what's going to happen on the other end. I should be able to go see Randy and Chris without being said, I'm in a clique. Huh? Oh, I know it's hurting. It hurt me. Jesus saw this how many years ago? And we are here struggling with it right now. You know, that what that says, say, a family that prays together, stays together. I don't know whether they were saying it for fun or because it rhymed. But it makes sense, though, if you do it. I'm from Willow. It makes sense to me. Huh? So, you know, it ain't just one of those nursery rhymes. It makes sense, you know. You know, I told this individual, I said, you know what? One of the worst things you could do at a house is have two different gods running around in there. Huh? One of you believing this and the other believing that. If we're not on the same accord here, he's an NFL player. If he ain't on the same plan the rest of them got, they got problems out there on the field. Big problems. Brandon, you know we playing football, not basketball. You know, we got problems. We need to be together here in the church. This is what Jesus is teaching. And here's the one. Now I want to wait till I got down to about the end. I don't want to beat this down, but it says, shake it off. Listen to me now. I'm using this to identify and term the problem that come of it. Don't be one of those Christians that you wind up putting your soul in jeopardy of hell fire because that person didn't listen to you. Let me say that again. Don't be one of those Christians that put your salvation in jeopardy because he didn't listen to you. See, I like, again, how long was it when Jesus said, shake it off? You know, in the military, we use that term, shake it off. We use that term, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Yeah, we do PT, do 45 push-ups, get up, shake it off. Yeah. That term, that exercise is used to show yourself cutting away, breaking loose, cutting free, stopping something. You know, you just changed what was the flow of what was going on. Cut it away. Get away from it. Jesus said, shake the dust from your shoes, from your feet. Shake it off. He didn't say, get mad at him and talk about him in the church. He didn't say, threaten him no more. And he now remember, who did we say he was going to see? The lost sheep of Israel. These are church people, he said. What did he say? Shake it off. Shake it off. You shouldn't come back here mad with me because Curtis didn't listen to what you had to say. Am I making sense to y'all? Listen to me. Now, there's a big lesson here. You know the thing that flipped me up, that threw me off? He didn't say it. Gentiles and the Samaritans, they got a problem within themselves. He's talking about the church folk. He's talking about his chosen one, the children of Israel. Look, they go way back. We got some long history together. He said, they got lost sheep too. Remember what we always said. We've always said the first step into solving any problem is knowing that you got one. That's the first step. See, we got to be able to understand that, you know, because we come here to church and sit in the seat, that gives us no protected boundary to act ugly, cut up, and treat each other bad. The same society that makes up the fireman, the nurse, the hospital, the police department, the crackhead, the one that broke in your car, and the cousin that will never pay you your money back, the same that same group, make up church on Sunday morning. That's why they come. Ain't no spaceship landing out there putting new people out here. That ain't what's going on. That's us. So whatever bad habit that we got here, listen to me. We are supposed to, we're obligated to one another to help each other. We should have an understanding that my helping Curtis helping me is going to make the church better. It's not going to get Curtis ahead, not going to get Mac in front of me. We're making the group better.
Then when somebody see me outside and say, oh, Grady goes to Albemarle Church. You know, they help each other out there. Listen to that. They help each other. They go look out for one another. I'm not telling you to take on somebody, whole family to raise. What I am telling you is that we got to change. We start by changing our mindset. We are Christians. We got to start by changing this. Coming in here, listening to Grady and Curtis holler for 45 minutes, I'm telling you, it ain't going to get you across Jordan. If that's the boat you're waiting on, you're going to sink. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's big enough that Jesus tells his disciples, let's fix this first. Let's fix this first. I need you to be wise as serpents and humble as doves. This is a group you got to deal with. God, they say church folks are some of the worst folks in the world to deal with. I used to hear people say that. I could never understand that. You know, I'm slow. I'm from Willow. My fan belt, it's on the pulley, but it slips sometimes. Wow. Church folk? You know, I'm thinking, you know, the folk that come out of the liquor house that's drunk laying in the ditch is the Baptist. He ain't bad. We know where he's going to be, sir. In the morning, he's out in the ditch. It's the church folk. You sit inside with them, talk with them, fellowship with them. Like Randy said, love lifted me. Just as soon as you cross the threshold, love dropped you. Bam! Right out there on the ground. The church folk. You know, we come a long way. We come a long way. And it ain't one of those things that you check this block, you're good forever. It don't work like that. That's why we say every day, every morning, you know, it's another whole task, it's another whole test. You know, that's why I look at it, and I tell you, just like he said this morning, I've always said that, you know, if you on this side of the dirt, you made it. You made it. If you on this side of the dirt, you made it. Never, ever use your church experience to say, I'm going to start tomorrow. Then you missed the whole point in church altogether. Right now. Right now. Here, right now, is where the change starts if you've got the church for it. See, y'all may have noticed a lot of times, even when they were small, I have my children come to church with me. I made sure I got an understanding with child custody law. You eating my food, staying in my house, you going with me. That's how that works. When you get to that point that the government recognizes you as something else, you go somewhere else. See, that means the rules for me. That means the rules for me. You can do anything I do. You can't do nothing of those things that I don't do. So I could care less how your best friend who holds the Pac-Man record for eating all the dots talked to his parents. I don't care. I could care less about this person voted the most favorable person in school for the whole time. I don't care. I really don't. I really don't. We're going to serve one God in this house. And we're going to stick to those rules. We're going to ask for forgiveness. And we're going to try to do better each day. Those markers are in place. When somebody asks you to help, you're not going to go over there. And as my brother can say, every time your mouth fly open, your elbow bend. Give me. Give me. That's what he said. Church is in the helping business. It's in the helping business. Huh? Get in that mirror. Look at help. See where your hand at when you finish with help. If your hand is coming up, you probably need to look at some stuff. Because you should be able to help without begging or without trying to get money to be paid for it. There's a difference. There's a difference. And you should not be drawing your clicks, friend, most favorite, BFF, what's that, best friend forever? Your BFFF. I put too many F's in. Whoever that is, two F's. Whatever it is. You need to treat him like you treat everybody else. You know, then you don't have to worry about those trials. See, that's why I don't need to know it. I don't need to know it. And you know, my son, and I'm going to tell you something, that's tough. My daddy killed me. He can say, I can send a text message, hide everything. It's all right, LOL. I said to him, what's the LOL? And they told me, which really confused me, Randy. They said it's laugh out loud. Is it? Is that what it is? So when I ask you how your car doing and you say fine, LOL, help me understand now, Curtis. We need to teach our kids, teach our church members, teach us so we can go out in this world and teach right. We need to. I'm not beating you up. You go ahead and do whatever you want. You type them. I got authorized my joint in. I can. But my thing is, when you have that bad day, when you have that bad time, and you go to church, you remember what Jesus told his disciples when he's dealing with his church people. Shake it off. Shake it off. Every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. Don't you make the mistake waking up and going into a day angry with somebody. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't see your church neighbor, somebody, it tells you in the Bible, especially a friend of the faith, a person of the faith, you take care of them. You're never going to, I had a colonel, he was good taught at West Point. He said, if you have two people do everything the exact same, he said, one of them not needed, chief. You know, as long as I thought about that, that thing made sense at the end. He's right. So people are going to be different. They're going to do different things. God knows this. And God knows before we can represent him, before we can do his thing, before we can go out there and make his word stick, before we can actually help and mend and save a soul, we got to be rock solid with where we are. Not speaking to somebody don't mean that you forgave them. Yeah, he stole my tie. But I forgave him. When the last time you talked to him? 18 years ago, when he got the tie. I'm slow. I'm from Willard. You're going to have to help me. Did he move out of the country or something? Was he not here? We're the same way in the church. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Nothing, especially tangible stuff. You can't take this stuff with you. Don't make the mistake of losing your soul over something so simple. God's way is the best way. Somebody upset you, shake it off. And move on with the same joy and love and hope he said. And that's how you convince somebody to have faith in this thing. You know, they said, I can count. I used to have General Costello, Jack Costello. He's dead now. He was at the Pentagon. General Jack Costello used to fly from Darmstadt, Germany to Saudi Arabia. I was inspecting. He said, I remember you. He said, I can always count on you, chief. Every time I see you, you smile. Now, of all the things you can remember for somebody, I'd rather he remember that than remember anything. Great, he's drunk. He's always on the blotter report. He didn't brush his teeth or something. That ain't what he said. He said, he's smiling. He's smiling. If we're a church, let's be a church. If we're going to be God's children, let's follow his word. He said, if you love me, truly love me, feed my sheep. Listen to me. Why don't we feed each other? I know you say, well, Grady, you kind of stooped that. I'm telling you, you're going to deal with things. And a lot of times you try to justify being ugly when you're talking to non-Christian folk. Ugly is never right. And it's certainly not right when you're dealing with people of faith just like you. The way we render that is that we're going to have it, just like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Shake it off. It's where your faith is. I got to believe that he's human just like me. I got to believe that when he get hit, he hurt just like I do. I got to believe that when his family die or when something go wrong or he this, I got to believe that. I got to. So when we look at him and say, well, he's having a bad day, that's very possible. If I don't do nothing but just sit there and talk with him, that's fine. You know, I'm going to close out, guys. I know y'all ready to get out of here. I ain't want to hold you up. I got a good friend. A lot of good friends. And on the Monroe side is the Shirley's. And you know, it breaks me up every time we call or at the end when I tell him I love him, I talk to him, he said, you know, we love y'all and y'all the only friends we got. That's what he said. Now, he's a lot older than me. And I'm not sitting on the telephone trying to say this man is lying or whatever. But to just say that, just to say that, tells me that we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. We're a family. If you're looking at it any other way, we're never going to get there. We're never going to get there. I know things are going to be bad. Things are going to be bad on the right and the left. But where you find peace, joy, and stability is in each other. We're all God's children. And we have an obligation. If we're going to walk out here and profess to be God's children, is to carry ourselves as such. Even with like people of faith. We should be doing it with us first. So, I know we go through a lot of things. We deal with a lot of things. I just want you to understand that we can't ever let our guard down. As God allowed his disciples to go through, he saw fit. Not that he didn't want to say the word, God saw fit. That if you're going to be my representative, if you're going to be my example, if you're going to be my right hand, you need to be right. And you need to do business right. Especially with people of faith. You helping everybody do anything in the world but the one in the church. Sometimes we look at the ones in the church, you know, we look at people and say they don't go to church, and look at the people outside the church and forget all about what's going on in the church. We need to make sure, for our soul's sake, if nothing else, that you are for real about what you're doing. Tony and I used to talk, and over at the other church, I ain't gonna call no name, Mr. John. Over at the other church, they would say, "I love you." You know me. I'm from Willard. I'm slow. You got to help me. The only time I've seen you was Sunday morning in church right there. And in passing, you did it. When I seen you in the parking lot, you didn't speak. And you don't say anything at the end of church. But in the morning, in the meet and greet, Mr. John, I love you. Now, either I'm confused with the definition of love or somebody's lying. That's just me, Grady 101. That's what I say now. Grady got problems. That's fine. But I just want you to know that's what I say. You know, I love you. Be careful. People listen to you. People see you. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Curtis, I'm finna sit down. We have a lot of things that go on in the church, a lot of things that we need to do, a lot of things, and that's going to constantly come at you. Life in and of itself is a barrage. And unless you get your mind and heart where you're supposed to be, you're going to find yourself in a whirlwind. Nothing is going to stabilize you in that whirlwind but the love of Jesus and getting right with God. And it does me all the wonders in the world to know that you love and care about me and you come and listen to me. It does me all the wonders in the world to know that if I have a problem, my brother got this, or I'm sick with that, you call and check. I appreciate that. God knows I do. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm going to tell you right now, people listen to what you say and do. You know, I know y'all don't want to hear these spirit, but you got to know, you know, because if we stay in our own bubble, you miss what goes on around you. And I'm telling you, when I had to deploy to war, school teachers would have their children to write letters to everybody, to the soldiers, and send them out there and you read it. And you'd be surprised at what a child say. Huh? I was saying to myself, by the time we got ready to come back from Iraq, we need to make them the leadership. And fire all the other clowns we got here. That's the mindset. At least they're honest. At least they ain't quite picked up and learned how to lie for benefit yet. You know, they're honest. And I say that for us. Let's make this thing for real. I apologize for going off into, and it's not one of these chew you out session. I'm just saying it's the sermon that I'm teaching. If it's Jesus saw it back then, certainly we got issues with it and going on now. And to make us stronger, to be what we need to be. With that being said, if you have a problem, you have a need, you have a desire. I know it's probably one of the things that come up on you, and we all go through struggles. I have problems. I do. But you know what? I got to the point now, and I guess it's old age or senility. I look forward to being able to get down on my knees before I get into bed and ask God to forgive me for all that mess I went through. Every evening, every night. And get up in the morning, I slide off the edge and hit the floor. Thoop. Thank the Lord, I'm up. Got it. I do. I'm telling you, it worked for me. It worked for me. I thank God for it. So, what we can do, if you have a problem, have a need, and you feel like your way is not the way, you're ready to change. Here is the time and the place. You hear the gospel, believe in Christ. And this is important. You got to repent from your past sins. You can't walk around like the guy that I ain't talked to him in 18 years. You know, but you forgave him. You can't do that kind of stuff. Confess Christ. Be baptized. And live faithfully. Now that sounds like a redundant, but it's not. It's not. Once you get into it and make that your life. Make that your life. Then it gives you something to look for when the sun is not shining, when the storm is coming, when your friends don't call. There's something to look forward to. You got that. You all right. If you would, please, come now as we stand and sing.